You are now live.
Okay.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm very pleased that you said good morning. Very pleased indeed, because it means I can hear you, because I have to have hearing aids, which I'm never too sure whether they're working or not. Now, I direct you to these three verses of John chapter 1, 12, 13, and 14. Now, here John is writing for Christians in the ancient world in times that are glum and threatening. And he wants his listeners or readers to be full of joy. And it's there at the beginning, chapter 1 and verse 4. He wants them to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus, understanding his word and obeying and living in his commandments. Now, he wants people to be happy and full of joy here with these three verses and with your response to them. And I wonder if you've ever felt full of joy and warm inside, so that you go home from church with a sort of a skip in your step, if you're able, because you feel happy and warm inside. I wonder if you've ever felt that with, I don't know, something someone said, perhaps you've read, or perhaps a piece of music. I discovered a song the other week, and it filled me with a sense of warmth. It was a song by Eric Clapton, Wonderful Tonight. It's a song for married couples, husband and wife, and it's a song of romance. And I discovered then what a romantic I actually am, because it filled me with a sense of warmth. Now, I hope that you'll go home and you'll discover that piece of music if you don't know it already, and you will feel warm as you listen. Or maybe you have your own music, your own chants, and you feel the warmth as you hear it. Now, up to now, John has been rather austere in what he has said. He's been strict, perhaps, and rightly so. Just for a moment, in these three verses, I think this marks a pause in his letter in chapter 1. A pause for readers to feel encouraged and to feel warm about what he writes here. It's set in our Bibles there, and indeed up here on the screen, like a hymn, like a song, or like a poem. Much the same as Paul writing about the Lord Jesus in Philippians chapter 2. John wants his congregations to go home from the public reading of this letter feeling, as I say, warm inside and feeling happy because of the words that are here, feeling that they belong, feeling comfortable and at ease. That's what these three verses are, 12 to 14. Now, we need to sort this out a little, because I don't think he's writing specifically for three groups of people. He's writing for all his readers, or if he's reading it to the to a congregation, to all his readers or listeners, all ages who are at various stages in their Christian lives, marked by children, the young, and parents. It's not that any people are better or more advanced than any others. The gospel here is accommodated to all those who love the Lord Jesus at any stage of their Christian lives. Now, this must be read not exclusively, but inclusively. Must be read for men and women. Not because the letter of John is not being here misogynistic and exclusively just for the males. Children refers to everyone, people of all ages, young men and young women, fathers and mothers. Nobody here is left out. So, of course, there are three headings here. It's quite natural in what John writes. He writes, first of all, to little children. Now, who is he writing to? The Sunday school or the junior church? I think not particularly. He's writing specifically for those who are new Christians, for those who are new to the Christian faith, perhaps to those who are inquiring, thinking about the Christian faith, and almost ready to belong. So if you're a new Christian, or if you're a Christian who is struggling with the Christian faith, struggling with the Bible, struggling to understand, this particular section, this particular heading is written for you. You may be new to the Christian faith. You may have not long started. And you want to get on. You want to progress. You are eager, like perhaps difficult children who claim to already know it all. You know, our children are, our toddlers are. They say often when they have to put on shoes or put on trousers or put on new clothing, do by self. I can do that. Now, John writes to all those he loves in the church. He writes to children, chapter 2, verse 1, but here specifically to new Christians who he calls little children. In this section here, 12 and 13. Those who have much to learn, those who have much to learn about prayer, being at first very impatient, and much to learn about being a member of the fellowship, as we heard from chapter 1, verse 3. And he's saying there, look, you have started, you have begun, and what you hear is actually true. I remember years ago when I became a Christian, there seemed to me to be so much, actually too much, to learn. There was, for example, the Bible, and 1,000 pages and no pictures. How was I going to grasp that? I remember coming home from some meeting somewhere, somewhere in London, and coming home with a group of friends on the train, and they were Christians who understood a lot more to me, being so new. And I said, how on earth am I going to grasp all of this? And I think, as far as I remember, thinking about all the different cultures, that people said to me, you will manage, we will pray for you. And they did. The Bible, you see, seemed to me at school to be very easy as a school subject. There it was, written, read it, and consider. But now, becoming a Christian, becoming a new Christian, wow, what was it, was all so new. But now I had come to believe. Now it became complicated. It became part of me. And I had realised, I acknowledged that I needed, so long ago, so much help. Then there's the eye-opening statement. Do you see it there in verse number 12? Your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. This refers to the work of Christ. His dying for you. His coming alive again for you. His ascension into heaven for you. And being in heaven now, praying specifically for you. So if you find it hard to leave the Christian life now, remember that Jesus is there praying for you in heaven. And your sins forgiven, notice what you've done wrong is no longer held against you. This is wonderful. It makes you smile and feel warm and feel good inside. And verse 13, you have known the Father. This is therefore about you very specifically. Grasp hold of this and feel the wonder. The Lord Jesus loves you and gives himself for you. You love the Lord, you are forgiven. Oh, what relief there is to actually be forgiven and to know that your sins are no longer held against you. A weight off your shoulders. You belong. There's no need to be smug. There's no need to be superior. But as little as you are, you belong. You are now in and into a new large family. So make sure, if you are new, if you are a child, if you are written to in that way here in verse 13. Remember, in your private prayers, talk to God. You are listened to. So begin your prayers. Begin your quiet time, for example. Good morning, God. And ask him how you are. Be informal. Be approachable. Be apologetic, certainly, when needful. Say you are sorry when needful. And know from a verse like this, and of course elsewhere, that your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is removed. It's gone. You have a new start. You are a new person. You know God the Father. You have been called. Come to me, says Jesus. All you who weary and are heavy in heavy travail, something like that, which means if you find life difficult, if you are burdened with life, you come to me and I will help you. You have been called, you've heard his voice, you've accepted his invitation, and it's all true. It is wonderful. Feel encouraged at verse number 12, because that, if you are struggling, if you are new to the Christian faith, if you are thinking today of becoming a Christian, and yes, I want to believe like that, remember it's true. Be encouraged, be happy, feel warm inside. Then comes our second point, quite obviously, young men. But don't forget, young women, and women really of any age, I hasten to say, are not left out. Both men and women. Now, people who can be described as young are people who are energetic. They've got things to do. They're occupied. They've got to make their way in the world. There's marriage, there's family, there's children, there's mortgage and career, there's promotion. And John writes here to those who have discovered the Christian faith. He writes to those who have discovered the Christian faith so long ago. Now, you're discovering and moving in life with the Lord Jesus. Christianity you are discovering. Is something difficult. It takes everything that you have to find that you do things wrong and then be forgiven and then start again as a new person, new inside. The phrase here to young men, you have overcome, means you have conquered, you have prevailed over the wicked one, over evil, verse 13. You are fighting the good fight of faith, which will come up later in chapter 5 of this same letter. In you and what you have seen around you, Christ has overcome the devil, Satan, and you share in his victory. And John tells the young people, young men, young women, he tells them twice. You feel you are strong. Do you notice that in verse 14? But remember, where does this strength come from? Now, you want to have a look at two verses in Isaiah. I will tell you what they are. Isaiah 40, verse 29. Listen to these words. Mark it to meditate, to think of them later. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. If you have no strength, God is the giver of strength to those who ask. Isaiah 40, verse 29. And then there's over the page Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. Much the same. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. And then comes this that is said to the young people of our verses. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. The word of God, you see, in verse 14, takes a hold of these persons who are mentioned. The way to have to ask God to take a hold of you is to have and continue to have a daily quiet time in God's company. Now, I remember when I first became a Christian, it seemed so elementary when I was a younger person to have a quiet time. It seemed an elementary thing to actually do. But I've discovered that prayers and reading and meditation, that if there is any secret in the Christian life, this is it. To have a daily time with God at your time, on your time, each day. To, in that time, to pray and talk to God. As I said earlier, good morning, God. How are you? And then tell him how you are. Have a few verses, perhaps the two verses that I've said, perhaps these verses that are up before you. Read them carefully, and then here's the secret of the Christian life. Are you ready? Meditate. Meditate means to think carefully. Meditate means to take time to think about what you've actually read. And to think how that verse, those verses, actually influence and actually help you. Remember, meditate. Go back to the very beginning when you were first a Christian, when you advised to have a quiet time. And if you've let that go, if you've lapsed, start again. Begin tomorrow. Because, you see, we live in such a terrible, hostile world. There is so much in the way of battles and war and conflict, and you can actually get worn out with hearing about it. What's going to happen next with Ukraine? Oh, now, just a minute. You forgot about Ukraine because there's the war in Gaza that's on our TV news every day, morning, lunchtime and evening. There is so much, and you feel as though you need to have much more than a holiday. I am writing to you, young men. I am writing to you, young people, because you've overcome the evil one. That's the challenge we have in life, and you are told twice. So there we are, children, those who are beginning the Christian faith. Then you have young people, young men, young women, those who are well there, those who have their knees, as they say, under the table. Then John says, fathers, I write to you fathers and mothers, therefore. Not necessarily to those who are senior in age, but those who have been a Christian, perhaps, for a long time. Maybe that's you. You've been a member of many churches, not just this one, but perhaps others. You've heard many sermons, not just here, perhaps, but elsewhere. You've gone to other churches. You've heard sermons on tape and online. You've joined Bible studies. You've read books, and you've experienced much in the Christian faith. But still, you have much to learn. Still, we who may be, I don't know, fathers, mothers, not as young as we used to be, you are not past the age of learning. Take great care, because you, as long as you have been a Christian, you are never unteachable. You never know it all. I became a Christian 59 years ago. Now, I may know a few things, I may know some things, but still I acknowledge the more I read, the more I think, the more I meditate, I still have much to learn. And you and I, who have been Christian for a while, we must never feel superior because we've never passed the age of learning. Verses 13 and 14 before us, well, it says there you have been known from the beginning. You've known him from the beginning. Well, if that's true of you, I give to you a new task. This is your new task for the future if you have been a Christian for some years. It is to help those who are called, referred to as children, here in our Bible reading. Helping children and helping the young men, those who are new to the Christian life, those who are making their way in the Christian life. Helping new people to the Lord Jesus and helping those who are hurting. The task of fathers and mothers. So there we are. This is John's three verse pause, as I choose to understand it. Make sure that you, as a result of reading and meditating on these words, that you are encouraged and feel at their reality, feel full of joy with these realities, and go home from this service happy if these words are true of you. But it comes with a caution. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Apostle Paul tells the church there, 1 Corinthians 10, 12, he tells the church there, take heed lest you fall. This is about not being pleased with ourselves. We're not advanced, we're not superior. We still have a chance of falling. And that comes to us, those words from Paul, as a word of warning. It's not addressed to the weak, but to the well-established. Be watchful is the New Testament word. Be vigilant in your Christian life. Because we have an adversary. We hear about demons and evil ones watching over you to exploit your weaknesses, whatever they might be. In the meantime, being watchful, taking heed lest you fall. We are like little children, new Christians. There are those who have just started. Some of us are young people. You are making your way in the world. You're making your way in the Christian life. Some of you are described here as fathers, and I do dare say mothers also. You've loved the Lord for some time. Feel, therefore, warm inside. Feel happy. Feel joyful. Be encouraged by John's song, his poem, his hymn, here in the middle of chapter 2. Amen. May you go home joyful and happy at these realities. Oh God, our Father, be pleased to be with us today. There is so much remembering of hurt and pain in our world from the distant past and from the present. Enable us to feel good inside about the realities that John here speaks of us. If we've just started, may we continue. If we are well on in our way, keep us from stumbling. And if we look back and on our Christian lives, enable us to feel strong with you, because you answer prayer and you are with us. Amen.